Beck is our guest today. The Cafe's Dan Reed talks with him in depth about Huero, his album from earlier this year that holds up incredibly well, and about much else. The new album Huero was produced with the Dust Brothers, and Dan explores that relationship with Beck and also the many changes that have gone on in his life since the last album, including being a new father.
Well, sentimentality was already fairly rampant in myself, and it's only just gotten more and more, and you know, I mean, there's nothing like it, really, and it's kind of have such an intense bond, and you're madly in love with your kid. You know, there's nothing really to compare it to.
Let's talk about the new album, Huero, and sort of a return to you know, the Odelay sound. A lot of people have said that. I think there's a little more going on there. But you did get the Dust Brothers back in the fold for this record. Was it a conscious decision to sort of, you know, get back to that Odelay vibe at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think the strange thing was time just goes so quickly, and I hadn't really meant to get away from that sound as much as just sort of try some other approaches. And then next thing you know, you're looking at 7-8 years since we did that record. And the thing is, we'd been working together the whole time and had sort of gotten together every 2 years or so to just kind of take stock of things. And okay, and we're going to start this project. But it just took a lot of years. You know, they were having kids and doing soundtracks, and I was touring for about 6 years straight, you know. So finally we caught up with everything in our lives and finally had some time to get together again. It was just, we'd only meant it to be about a year or two.
Right.
But it took about seven.
Right. The album seems pretty, to me, listening to it, seems like, I don't know, just there's a good vibe on it. It seemed pretty, was it pretty effortless once it got started? Did the process go pretty quickly? It seems like that as a listener.
Yeah, pretty quick. We kind of laid the basic thing down in about 2 weeks, you know, two kind of easy weeks. And then we probably spent a couple more months just watching basketball and just sort of endlessly tweaking a guitar sound or doing something weird. The intention was to do it real quick and not to overdress it, you know.
Right.
Just keep it simple. But we did get ambitious, I think, in certain songs.
The first track, E-Pro, sounds like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm guessing here, but it sounds like it might have been the first song you guys worked on. It really sort of attacks you right from the beginning.
Which one?
E-Pro.
E-Pro. It was kind of in the middle. It's funny, actually, I think the last song on the record is the one we did first.
Really?
So we were kind of working our way backwards a little bit. But I think that song and maybe Black Tambourine, those are the kind of, that was more what I was intending the record to be, but you can't really plan what happens in the studio. You know, I've sort of surrendered to that years ago, trying to force the hand of the creative hand. It really happens, and whatever's there is what the record becomes.
Let's check out E-Pro from Huero on the World Cafe.
Come at the town of my soul, straight down out of the world, but my fingers holding on to the devil. I know all my troubles are hanging your trigger. Take your eyes and your mind from the road. Shoot your mouth if you know you're aiming. Don't forget to pick up what you sow. Talking trash to the garbage around you. Symbols in the back of your room, handing out a confession of venom. Heaven's drunk. fingers, charm the walls of the eyes of a gambler. Now I see it's a comfort to you. Hammer my bones in the anvil of daylight.
That was E-Pro from Beck's latest album, Guero, here on the World Cafe. I'm with Beck, and I wanted to ask you about your songwriting process, because you've always got lots of, I don't know, it seems like a more of a building process than just a simple sit down and write the song. I wonder if you could talk to me about the process on this new album, how you brought the songs in and how you worked with the Dust Brothers and made the songs what they are on the album.
Hmm. Sometimes when we're working on a track, I'll change directions midstream. Like if I feel like the tone of what I'm writing about doesn't really work with the song, sometimes I'll write for what the music more. And there's times where I really... try the lyrics at five different angles. I'll sometimes write five different versions of the song. You know, I'll just throw lyrics out the window, trying to get at what it needs to be. I'm kind of a believer in that kind of... you just kind of write yourself dizzy, and then you find out what you're trying to say, and you get rid of all the stuff that's unimportant or feels a little too forced or pretentious, you know. Although I do like words, so I am guilty of that pretension sometimes. Right. You know, I try to walk the line on it.
I wanted to, in other interviews I've heard, I know that you know, you're a guy that loves vinyl, the actual physical records, and you probably have a huge collection of records. And interesting question I was wondering about, been asking folks that care about that, is, you know, you had vinyl albums, which was a physical thing, even cassette tapes was a physical thing. CDs come along, it's more of a digital thing. Now a lot of people who are discovering your music for the first time is doing so by downloading your music or whatever. And they don't really own the physical, it's not the physical act of having the CD.
Yeah.
They don't really own the CD, they just own the data. I was wondering if you have any thoughts on how that changes the music listening experience. Do you think that's changed it at all?
Well, music, you know, in its essence is kind of invisible. I mean, it's sound waves, right? It doesn't really exist, so it's all a concept anyway. So I think it just moves it more to the realm of concept than actual physical entity. When we could sort of tie it to a piece of vinyl or a CD, we could still have something to associate it with in the physical world. But it's really, it's moving up the creative food chain towards light beams and I don't know. I do like the weight of, you know, having a physical thing, an object to associate with the music. I just moved recently, and I had some old 78s and an old hand crank 78 record player in my basement. It's probably from the 20s. And my friend from England had never seen one, and we, down in the dark, dim basement, we put on an old 78. And put the wooden needle, because they actually made the needles out of wood back then, and listened to this strange song coming out of it. And it was such a, it had so much sort of color and mystery and mood, and we were kind of speechless after we listened to the song. It was a totally different listening experience, and that was kind of a shock to me, because I do listen on my computer and. Yeah. And, you know, I fought that stuff for years, but, you know, for me, it's just convenient because I'm traveling so much, and so I'm like everybody else. I have my 800 albums in a little box. I just press a button and go, but yeah, you really do lose something.
Earthquake weather, sort of a term a lot of Los Angelinos use when they... feel like, hey, it's, I don't know, it feels like there's going to be an earthquake. Now, you were born out there, and you spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. Does the notion of the big one flip you out at all?
No, I mean, I grew up with it. There was a huge earthquake, I think, when I was an infant. And, you know, I have vague memories of that. And, of course, there was one when I was a teenager, and there was another huge one when I was in my early 20s. So, you know, about every 10 years. We're overdue for one, actually, I hate to say. But, yeah, and this song sort of... I think it represents my feeling at the time, right, you know, before George W. came, that whole regime came into the White House, and the sort of terrorist threat and threats and the sort of climate and atmosphere we live in now. And funny thing is, I recorded the track back in 99, I think. And when I got back to with the Dust Brothers for this record, I never could figure out what the lyrics were, but I kind of knew what it was about, and so now it all kind of made sense. So I think it's about that moment right before, that sort of quiet right before something cataclysmic's going to happen. And so I think that is the earthquake weather.
Weather from the Guero album from Beck. We're talking with Beck Hansen again today on the World Cafe. The other song that sort of springs out at you, I think, on this album is the poppiest, the prettiest song on the album, I think, is Girl, and some very, very nice harmonies on that song as well. That's just, I don't know, it's a buoyant feeling song, but then you read the lyrics, Beck, and there's a little something different going on in that tune, actually.
Yeah, actually, the lyrics were really sweet when I first read the song. And so it was almost kind of a throwback to, like, a doo-wop song or a Beach Boys song. And I think something in me just kind of felt like it was just too cloying or something, or it was too neat of a bow on top. So I kind of tried it from a different angle. I tried a more of a, you know, a Pixies, again, that sort of surrealist, dark, carnivalesque kind of, I don't know. But the song isn't meant to be taken literally, really. It's just all metaphors. And I was asked at one point, like, is this song about a murderer who, you know, murders this woman? Or, that wasn't really in my mind at all when I wrote it. I just felt like, haven't you ever heard of a metaphor? I mean, really. I think the line, though, that tripped people up was, with the noose she could hang from the sun, meaning that she would be hanging from a noose. But I meant it as this sort of powerful, potent, dark, strange image of a female who's actually tying a noose around the sun, you know what I mean? She's hanging the sun. So syntax kind of got in the way and maybe confused some people. But yeah, it's sort of meant as this inverted sort of tribute to this sort of feminine figure, this feminine kind of archetype, maybe subverting that slightly, taking it away from the femme fatale and making it more of a kind of darker and stranger and sort of like, you know, you have a nice clean pair of jeans and you acid wash them a little bit. Yeah, that's a really it's my acid wash jean jacket technique that I use.
A new one. I want to thank you for taking some time and spending it with us today on the World Cafe.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks not only to Beck, but also to Dan Reed for our interview today. That new album, Huero, is available at our World Cafe CD store. Our new website is at worldcafe.npr.org, and you can also pick up Live at the World Cafe CDs as well.